So for the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at something that I called your new life in Christ. Your new life in Christ. And I think I gave a story about a guy called Johnny, but I'm not going to repeat that story because it's just going to take a while. But the moral of the story that I gave last week and the week before is the fact that a lot of times as Christians or as believers, we think what our lives should be is, okay, you accept Christ, you become a Christian, you go to church on a Sunday when you can, maybe you do a couple of Bible studies, and your life just carries on as usual. Nothing else changes in your life, because you and I sometimes think that everything that has to do with God is restricted to the Sunday mornings or to the Bible studies. And we lose out on all the wonderful things that God has made available to us as believers. So many incredible and wonderful things. I don't want to go through all of those now. But life as a Christian is not just doing things. It's not just about ticking the box to say, okay, now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to do good. That my neighbor that, you know, irritates me every Saturday and Friday evening, I'm going to be nice to them. I'm not going to be mean to them anymore because now I'm a Christian. No, it's not just about what you do. Now, what you do is important because you should be a changed person, but it's primarily about a new life that God has given you. Now, that life has so many things involved in it. And if we're not conscious of the wonderful things that God has made available for us, we will just go through life barely just hanging on. And you might just ask yourself then, what's the point? Why? I mean, what's the difference in me being a Christian or believer and not being one? That question will arise when we don't see our lives as Christians as a totally different life. Do you understand what I mean? So what I'm just attempting to do for the next few weeks is just look at some of those things with regards to what God has really done for us. Last week, we looked at a number of things. We focused on how God sees you and I. And in going through that one last week, I mentioned that I've spoken to quite a few people, and people have different opinions about God. Some people have told me, if this God you're talking about is a good God, as you've said, why are people dying in, they give me a name of a country, or why did this happen to me, or why is this? And they just say, you know, as far as I'm concerned, just God's just not a good God at all. Some people think God is angry at them. He's waiting to just, you know, chop them on the head. He's got like a big stick, and he's saying, you know what, if you misbehave, I'm just going to smack your head. Some people have so many different opinions about God. And I give an example of a favorite uncle. And I mentioned that when I was much younger, we had a number of uncles and aunties, as you guys probably do. And every time it was my birthday, I used to go to a specific uncle because I knew that, man, that guy would like really, you know, it would be like, what do you want? Very nice uncle. And he would just, you know, shell out whatever I wanted and so on and so forth. And on the other hand, I had some other uncles as well and aunts when I was younger. And you really didn't want to be around those folks a lot. Because any move you made, if you didn't sit properly, if you didn't, you know, if you ran around too much, you'd be a smack. If you, you know, asked for too much or you made too much noise, it was a, you know. So we didn't really want to be around those aunts and uncles because it was just like a real drag. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because if we don't have the proper perspective about how God views us, we might just view God as that uncle or auntie that you don't like, where you just want to have as little as possible to do with him. Do you understand? But God isn't like that at all. But we looked at all that last week. This week, I'm looking at us as Christians together, looking inward here. And I'm saying, so the topic for today is, how do we deal with one another as Christians? What makes you and I different? What makes you different as a Christian? how should that affect your view towards the next person who is a Christian as well? We'll look at some of those things today. However, I always put a PS before I speak about things that concerning how we should behave towards one another or how we should react towards certain things. Now, I'm always very careful when I'm about to say that, because oftentimes you might think it is what we do that makes us good Christians. Sometimes you might think it is what we do that makes, that endears us to God, that makes God love us more. But that's totally the opposite of what I'm actually about to explain. The basis of what I'm about to explain is the fact that it is not what you do that makes you a Christian. You are a Christian and you're a believer because of who you are. Now, because you are a believer, something inside of you has changed. And it is that thing inside of you that has changed that brings about a different behavior. Do you understand? So it's not do good to be a Christian. Do good so that God will accept you. No, it's you do good because you're a Christian, because it's from your heart. It's something that God does in your heart. So it's not a forced thing. And I'm really, really very careful in saying that so that we don't fall into the other side that says, you know what, Pastor Benson says, these are the things that we need to do. No, I'm saying these are the things that are in you already as a Christian. I'm just showing you what it is. I'm reflecting a mirror from the Bible to say, this is what you are. Do you understand what I mean? This is what you are. This is who you are. I give an example, I have loads of examples. So let's look at someone like Prince William, right? Now, Prince William is a prince because he stands at the gate of Buckingham Palace and he wears a badge. I'm a prince. Is that what makes him a prince? Is he a prince because he got a manual he got a book that someone read and says 10 steps to be a prince? And he goes and he says, step one, make sure your hair is tidy. Step two, make sure you speak in a particular way. Once you've done all these things, then you're a prince. Is that how it works? I don't think so. It's the same analogy that I'm bringing here to say, in this very same way, someone can take the Bible and say, these are the things that God says a Christian should be. All right. And they say, step one, make sure you do this, tick. Step two, make sure you do this, tick. That's not what makes them a Christian. Prince William is a prince because he was born into the royal family. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. He is a prince by birth. He didn't do anything. He didn't wake up and say, now I want to be a prince. He was just born into that family. The same way with the Christian faith as well. There's something that the Bible refers to as the new birth, calls it being born again. That when you put your faith in Christ for your sins and for your eternity, then you become a Christian. Not what you do. So for Prince William, as he's growing up, probably his mother will have said, you know, as a prince, you know, this is what you do. You don't hit people with a baseball bat on the head if they annoy you. You know, just, you know, take it with a stiff upper lip, you know, and just smile. And I'm sure his mother will have said, these are the things that you do. Not to make you a prince. These are the things you do because you are a prince. Do you understand what I mean? So that's really the way it is. So the things I'm just going to be mentioning today are things that are in us already as believers. Things that we just need to pay attention to. Not that these are things that we're going to do by our own strength. They're things that are in you already. Do you understand what I mean? All right, so I'm going to look at three things today very quickly, or three areas. So the first one is this. What is the foundation of our relationship to one another as Christians? What is the foundation? The next thing I'll look at is how do we deal with one another as God's family? And if there's time, if time permits, I look at how you deal with conflict when somebody really, really gets on your nerves. And you guys attend the same church and you're both Christians. How do you do? How do you deal with that? So the first thing is this. The foundation of our relationship with one another is love. Let's look at John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. John chapter 13, we'll project the words on the screen. John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. Jesus said something very important there to his disciples. And he said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you." He says, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So we begin to see that the very foundation of our relationship with one another in the context of the church, you to me, you and I, you to the next person, is this kind of love. So Jesus said, people will know you're a Christian if you, did he say, carry a big placard at Cabot Circus saying, "I'm a Christian," you know, and just wave that around. No, he didn't say that. He said, the thing that would distinguish you and I in our behavior towards one another is love. Is love. Now, what is this love that Jesus is talking about? Again, I'm going to put PS on that. It is not the kind of love that is emotional. It's not the kind of love that says, if you're good to me or if you behave nicely to me, then I'll love you. That's the kind of love that we're used to. But this kind of love is a supernatural kind of love. It goes beyond that. Do you understand? If we look at John 3:16, what kind of love is this that Christ is talking about? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." There is a supernatural kind of love that God has for us, that he wants us to have for one another. This is the kind of love that's not dependent on what the other person is doing to you or not doing to you. This kind of love is not the kind of love that will react positively when the object of its love reacts positively back. The Bible tells us that when we were yet sinners, when we swore with the name of Christ, when we said, you know, this Christ, I don't want to have anything to do with him. I hate this God. This God is just awful. Don't talk to me about God. Don't talk to me about Christ. Leave me alone. And he says, despite what you're saying, despite how you feel about me, God said, I still love you. That's the kind of love he's talking about here. A love that is not dependent on what the other person is doing to you, good or bad. That's the kind of love that God is talking about here. And Jesus says, this is what is going to distinguish you from every other person as a Christian, that you have this kind of love for one another. Do you understand? Now, what is this kind of love? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. I'll just describe it. Now, this is not an emotional kind of love. This is a love that is based on decision. So what that means is, even if you feel like, you know, smacking someone on the face because they've said a rude word to you, that's fine. You can have that emotion. But this kind of love is saying that, no, you will, by your decision, choose not to do that. Do you understand? So it's not an emotional kind of love. It's God's kind of love. Now, what does this love look like? It says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is the kind of love that God is talking about. However, there's the price. There's a price to pay for this kind of love. Because this kind of love will make you, in quote, look like a fool. This kind of love will make you seem like you're like really whack, if I use that American term. This kind of love will make it seem like you're just a doormat. Do you understand? However, God says, irrespective of that, that's the kind of love that I need you to have for one another. Do you understand what I mean? Now, I'll skip to the next one. So I've said the foundation of our our relationship with one another as believers is love. God's kind of love. The next thing, the second thing is this. When we become Christians and we become believers in the church, we become part of a family. And I say this quite a lot. You know, as a local church, we're not like UNESCO. We're not like Rotary Club. All those organizations are really great. They do great stuff. We're not an organization. We are a family. Do you understand? So what that means is that I will not treat you like I treat someone in my office or as a business partner. I will not treat you as an employee. I will not treat you as some random person down the road. Why? Because in this new life that we're talking about, God sees each and every one of us as part of a big family. Do you understand? Now, the perspective that you have on that will determine a lot of things in terms of your relationship with one person in church to another. Now, let me just give you a random example here. Imagine if you had a sister or a brother and they did something to you. Maybe they took your dinner and they were always taking your dinner and always rubbing you the wrong way. And you tell them, you know what? Someone should give me a name here. I don't want to use anybody's name here. Just, you know, let's say Johnny. You know what, Johnny? That's my favorite name. Johnny, this is you telling Johnny this, your older brother. I've had enough of you. You're so mean. You know, you take my dinner. You're so rude to me. You're about 7 years old. Johnny's about 10. You're so rude. I'm going to tell mom and dad, I don't want you to be my brother ever again. I don't like you. And you storm out of the house. Right? You're 7 years old. Johnny's 10. You're really upset. And in your mind, it's like, I don't like this Johnny guy. Why did my parents even bring us into the same family and all that? What happens after that? The next day, what happens? You guys wake up in the same house. Your brother is still there. And you're still here. Life still goes on. You don't say, I'm never going to talk to this person ever again. You're 7 years old, you know. Why? Because they're your brother. So you just live with it. And with time, Johnny grows up. He becomes like a mature adult. And he says, you know what? When we were younger, I used to do all these things to you. I'm really sorry. So what I'm saying is that as part of a family, you don't just, there's a perpetuity to it. Do you understand? There's a perpetuity to it. So, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. So saying that we're part of a big family, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. And what the Bible tells us is that in this family that we are part of, in this new life, it says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, talking about our backgrounds. It says there's neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So when he says there's no Jew, no Gentile, no free, what this is saying is this. Whether I'm from Wales, whether I'm from the States, whether you're from, you know, France, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're purple or green, all that stays at the door. The Bible tells us that as members of this family, all that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is this, that we're all one in Christ. One big family. Do you understand? So it's not, okay, that person is a nice person. This person isn't too nice. It doesn't matter. As long as you're believers in the same church, you are part of the same family. So God makes a point of this to say, we cannot, as part of the same family, treat ourselves how non-Christians do. And what does that mean? That means, well, out there, you might size somebody up and say, I don't think this person has it, so this person's not cool at all. They're just like, you know, and you just treat them in a particular way. Or you might say, this person, God says that all that doesn't matter in this family. What matters is the fact that we're all one in Christ. That is the common denominator. So whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're whatever it is, we are part of one big family, and that's what counts in the sight of God. So there's that. So I'll just skip to the next one as well. There are some other things that I could say about that, but I'm just going to leave it at that. So we've looked at the fact that the foundation for this family is love, as Christians, as believers. The second thing is that we are a family, we're not an organization, and we should treat one another as such, as a family. Do you get what I mean? Now, the third thing I want to look at is this. How do we deal with one another when we have conflict? What happens? I'll look at one or two things here. So the first thing I want to say here is, if you look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. So what happens when, say for example, someone rubs you the wrong way, they don't really speak to you the way they, you know, they're rude to you and they just annoy you in the context of the church. What do you do? Do you go to the next person and say, you know what, that Johnny guy is just really rubbing me the wrong way and I don't like him at all. What do you think? What do you think about that Johnny guy? Don't you think he's a bit funny? Don't you think that? And you say all these things about Johnny. Why? Because Johnny has offended you. What does the Bible say we should do? It says here, if your brother or your sister sins, go and point out their faults just between the two of you. Just between the two of you. So what this is saying is this. If someone robs you the wrong way, someone annoys you, they do something that is you don't like at all, you go to that person one-on-one and you say, Johnny, I don't like what you did. You know, this really, you know, upset me, so on and so forth. That's what the Bible says we should do. Now, if Johnny doesn't agree and he says, you know what, I'm not interested in what you have to say and I think you're blah, then you take somebody else and say, you know, let's have a conversation together with Johnny. Do you understand what I mean? So the basis of all this is saying that, look, in this family, people will definitely rub you the wrong way. Why? Because we're all from different backgrounds. I mean, as a pastor, I mean, there's so many, I come across so many people. And even in this church, we have people who are from England, from the Caribbean, from with different perspectives. Do you understand? How do we exist together? Well, there's so many things I could look at here. It says we should bear with one another. We should just bear with one another. You know, there are times that, you know, as a pastor, you're in the church and maybe our style of music is a bit mellow sometimes. And some people will say, you know what, pastor, this is too calm. Let's do something that we do in, you know, in the States or something where everybody's shouting and we're running up and down and doing all those things. And I'm like, you know, calm down. We'll do that once in a while. And another person says, you know, that's just too loud. That is just too, I mean, so what do you do? How do you balance up all these requests? Do you understand? How do you do it? You just bear with one another. You bear with one another. So I'm just going to close now with this because we have a number of things that we want to do. And what I want to leave us with today is this. We are part of God's family, God wants us to relate with one another on the basis of love. This love that God is talking about is not just the emotional kind of love. It's love that's based on a decision that we're going to respond in a particular way. Do you understand? So we're just going to stop there tonight. This morning. And I'm going to ask that we just pray together this afternoon or this morning. We're looking at your new life in Christ. There's so much I could talk about, but we'll, you know, carry on next week or, you know, as time permits, regarding what this family is about. The church should be a place that when anyone out there that's not a Christian is looking for somewhere safe, somewhere where they can just let their hair down, they can come to the church and they know that we will accept everybody. We will not judge anybody. We'll show people what the Bible says, but we will love them. If they rub us the wrong way, we will tell them, but with the heart that, you know what, this person is my brother, this person is my sister, and we have a common family, the family of God. Let's pray this morning.